Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, Donald Trump would never have said anything like that about Putin, really. I mean, he didn't like to criticize Putin. Biden has, and he's also praised him, as we heard in those remarks that Peter Doocy cited, and that you heard from Biden himself. So everything has kind of been overshadowed, I think, Brett, by the anticipation of this Wednesday meeting. And, I don't think you have any real idea about what's going to come out of it. Biden has at times talked tough, and then you hear him say he doesn't want conflict. It's hard for me to imagine how on the path that Russia's on there wouldn't be conflict. I don't mean armed conflict, but conflict. And there's nothing that came out of the actions taken by the G7 or out of this NATO meeting, concrete actions that tell us very much about where this whole issue is going, both against China and against Russia.
And yeah, there should have been. There's been little to, it's leadership from the side, leadership from behind. It's Obama 3.0, and that's what we're seeing out of the G7, which is really a shame. You hardly know Joe Biden's there. Isn't that wild? The leader of the free world. Like, we always knew when Trump was there, for better or for worse, and I think usually for better. I mean, our allies must be sitting there going, well, I guess we won't have to pay as much money anymore, at least. And our enemies are going, whoo-hoo, they're rubbing their hands together going, Katie, bar the door, yeah. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It is Wednesday, June 15th, the middle of June, can you believe it, 2021, 1:09 p.m. here in the heartland. We're going to get back to G7 and World Summit and Putin meetings in a minute, because we'll have Jim Carafano join us at 2:07. Right now, though, I've been promising we would talk some movies, and I was shocked to see that when I went to Rotten Tomatoes, which is kind of my go-to movie source, I know there's others as well, there's IMDb, right, and others. I just like Rotten Tomatoes. I like the tomato meter, and it's generally kind of where I come down on things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have disagreements, but I pulled up this article that popped up, Movies of 2021, and the headline is, the 96 most anticipated movies of 2021. I guess like everything else, they're ready to open the floodgates.
Sure.
In good old Hollywood. And
they want to make some money.
They got to make up. And I'm paging through this and haven't seen most of these movies. And definitely there's very few releases so far. They're saving it for the second half of the year.
Because everything will be open.
Hopefully everything's open. Like one movie in January, one in February, which was SpongeBob SquarePants.
There you go. What'd that get?
Sponge on the Run.
Brilliant.
It got 66%.
There we go.
We just went to the theater for the first time Friday night, and like everybody, we were walking in and go, wow, it feels weird to go to a movie theater, except that ours wasn't because of COVID. We just hadn't been to the movie theater in probably 3 years and just decided, let's go, because we wanted to see Quiet Place 2, which was awesome.
Tell me about the premise of Quiet Place 1. It's about aliens or something, right?
So Quiet Place 1 takes place mostly just on John Krasinski and Emily Blunt's little farmhouse. Mm. And you jump right in the middle of it, because the aliens have already been there for a while.
Oh.
So you don't see the alien invasion.
So this is well into the invasion.
You're watching them deal with the aftermath of probably 90%+ of the population dead. You know,
so they know everything they can know at this point about the aliens.
Well, it's still like within probably the first year that they've invaded. But So they don't know everything, but they know kind of what the world's like now.
Terrifying.
And so you jump in the middle of it, and these are aliens that are blind. They look like giant, sort of like tractor-sized dogs with no face or
really?
Something. I don't know what to call it.
Freaky.
Giant legs, kind of like half animal, half bug looking things.
Wow.
So they're completely blind, but they can hear everything.
Oh, so they have incredible audio.
So they can discern sounds. You know, they can hear if it's somebody stepping on a crunchy leaf versus if it's, you know, just the wind blowing. So it's a really great movie because of the silence. You know, it's so tense because there's so much silence, and you're like holding your breath because you don't want to make any noise with the characters.
Yeah.
You know, and so they came out the second. We wanted to see it in theaters, and we're so glad we did, because as you guys know, we've talked about this. Like, when you watch a movie at home anymore, you're only half watching the movie. You're on your phone, you're doing other stuff, you're maybe even doing chores, whatever's happening. But when you watch one in the theater, which I haven't done in a long time, you're paying attention to everything.
Mm-hmm. And everything's around you. Like, the big screen is, like, holding you like warm blanket.
Yeah.
The surround sound.
The lights are out. The sound's awesome. And now, you know, most theaters, you're sitting in, like, recliners.
And you don't want to be the person on your phone. You don't want to be that person in the theater.
Because you can see it in the theater now.
Yes, you don't want to interrupt everybody else's experience
right.
as well as your own. So you make sure that the priority is the screen that you're watching, that you paid for.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it was everything it was billed as, which was very tense the whole time.
I love it.
So Quiet Place 2 is the prequel or the sequel?
It's both. It starts before it. So it starts showing kind of the beginning of it, because I don't want to do any spoilers, but one of the characters is dead by the time the second movie comes around.
Uh-huh.
So they go backwards to show a little bit of how that character interacted with the beginning of the whole thing.
Oh, interesting.
And then they move to the after the first movie takes place, so you kind of see the rest of the movie from there. Super cool ending, like one that you should have seen coming, but you didn't. Those are the best kind. They take you by surprise, but you were like, oh, I should have saw that.
Is
that
the end? Do they save the world, or is it going to be a third one now?
My guess is it's set up for a third one.
Nice.
I mean, it doesn't have to be. It does seem like you're ending on kind of a positive note, like, oh, the momentum's kind of changed now, but they don't show how it's going to change. You just think, oh, they've got something, but they don't show that happening. So you figure if there's going to be a third one, that's when like the humans are going to fight back, kind of thing.
Wow.
So it was a great second movie, because a lot of times the second one in a trilogy is kind of, you kind of get lost in the middle, like, oh, the first one's great, second one's kind of just the second act of any movie is kind of that way, where it's kind of the lull, and then the third one ends it. But this one, it did not feel like that.
And it's not your stereotypical movie. It is not, like, it is new. It is fun. It's exciting. You know, it's not a remake of anything, not a reboot of something old. It is a brand new idea. And the majority of it, at least the first Quiet Place that I saw, Quiet Place, no dialogue. I mean,
very little
dialogue.
Yeah, it's like whispering.
And it was,
wow.
And the impact of watching a movie that's an hour and a half, maybe stretching onto 2 hours. I can't remember the length. I think it was like an hour and a half. But the impact of having no dialogue and to just sit there and watch these people try to go through their lives and figure things out. I mean, I was blown away at John Krasinski and Emily Blunt for coming up with this idea. Amazing.
I got to say, tough movie to write. Like, as a writer, it's way easier to write dialogue because you have control over kind of the feel of things. If you're just writing action, you're basically writing like, person A walks down the road, has to be quiet. Well, that could look like a hundred different
actor.
Things. It's like it really is up to the actor and the director to bring that to life.
Mm-hmm.
So those are tough movies to write.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why you don't see a lot of them, which is why that one feels so unique. Like,
so
they had a blank check at the beginning because they're like, oh, okay, John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are going to be in it and they're writing it. Okay, you go do it. Well, a lot of movies don't get greenlit like that.
That's true.
So they had a leg up on everybody else trying to make creative movies. That's why,
91%.
Oh,
good.
So good.
I didn't see that.
The second one, Quiet Place 2?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I'm so pumped. I want to see it in theaters now.
Do it.
I love the movie theaters.
I'll have to watch it, yeah. I'll have to check it out.
Anything else striking your fancy on this list?
Let me see here. Peter Rabbit 2. It actually kind of a cute movie.
Oh, is that one?
Okay. Is it cute?
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. I haven't seen it. Let's see if anything jumps out at me.
I mentioned old.
Okay.
Which is coming out in July, I think. That's an M. Night Shyamalan new movie.
Oh, it better be good.
You know what F9 is? Duh.
No. What's F9?
Fast and Furious 9.
Oh, of course. Okay,
see,
I'm done.
Because Fast and Furious 9 starts sounding campy and goofy, we got to be cool. So yeah. F9.
Put a fork F9. In it. It's done. Yeah. The series is over.
It gets
go home.
68%. They're still cashing in. Yeah.
Those movies will never stop.
Vin Diesel.
Wow. How will they never stop? Please.
They keep making money. It's just fast cars. People who like fast cars love the Fast and Furious movies.
You named one, James Bond. That's coming.
Yes, James Bond, Daniel Craig's final movie, right?
Love him as James Bond.
Is coming up.
Wonderful.
Let's see if I can find one that is. Oh, Black Widow. That has been delayed forever. My daughters cannot wait to see that. Of course, starring Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, David Harbour, and Rachel Weisz.
That's
supposed
one,
to be opening July the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
That one, man, these Marvel movies, I'm excited to see what happens because I know a lot of them were supposed to be before these miniseries, these mini TV series came out, like the WandaVision and stuff like that. I think a lot of these other Marvel movies were supposed to happen before the TV series, and now they got pushed back and delayed. So I'm wondering how they all fit together.
Old, that Ryan mentioned, Old, is supposed to come out
sounds
in
so cool.
July 23rd, so we got about another month for that.
It's just a family that goes to a beach, and they just start aging rapidly.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then you're like, how do you make a movie out of this?
Yeah, that's
like,
weird.
What happens?
But it's, I mean, gosh.
Let's see. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else that jumps out at me. Oh, they're doing a movie. Oh, I guess this is kind of this has got to be a take on, I wonder if this is so we're making another movie based on a famous Disney World ride.
Okay.
So Annie may want to watch this. Jungle Cruise. They're making Jungle Cruise.
That's what that is. We were talking about that on the break. We're like, what is Jungle Cruise?
The Rock.
It's The Rock and Emily Blunt.
And Emily Blunt.
That's going to make a ton of money. Said, that's those Disney movies that are just basically
Jungle
like
Cruise.
Pirates of the Caribbean 4, you know, just a bunch of swashbuckling and animals and fun, and there's nothing on the line.
We were wondering. We were like, what the heck? I mean, go Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Like, he's awesome. But, man, those movies.
The only other one on the list that jumps out at me that I do want to see this year is... They were advertising this a lot last year, so I thought it was going to be out sooner, but they're saying August. The Beatles Get Back.
I saw that.
From Peter Jackson.
I saw that. I saw that. Venom, the next Venom is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
The next Venom's coming out in...
Venom was good.
Yeah, I liked Venom.
And
I thought
Tom
Venom
Hardy
was good.
Venom, yeah. Right?
Yep.
He's
Venom's
amazing.
Coming out much later in the year, September.
I wonder what this
October,
one's
October, we've got Dune.
Yeah.
Based on the cult classic. Back in, what, the 70s, I think?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So let me see what this says here. Acclaimed director Denis Villeneuve, did I say that right? Villeneuve? Takes on the massive challenge, I agree, of readapting Frank Herbert's sprawling sci-fi epic movie more than 30 years after David Lynch, crazy wild David Lynch, Twin Peaks, attempted the same and, according to many fans, fell short. At the very least, Villeneuve has assembled an impressive cast. Who is the cast? Timothy
Zendaya.
Timothy Chalamet, mm-hmm. Josh Brolin, Rebecca Ferguson, Oscar Isaac, Javier Bardem, Jason Momoa, Dave Bautista, and Zendaya. Mm-hmm. Zendaya? Did I
Zendaya.
Say that? Zendaya.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know so much.
She's great. She's awesome. I am so... My parents love Dune. Like, that is one of their absolute favorite movies in the world.
Isn't it like 6 hours long?
It's so long.
Oh, it's forever.
I still haven't
confusing.
Seen it.
It is so long and so confusing, and my parents just absolutely love it.
The Spider-Man movie has a vampiric twist on it. It's called Morbius.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah
in December.
Jared Leto. Jared Leto is the lead guy
that's
on
correct.
That.
Jared
yes.
Leto.
That
yep.
looked really
that's
good.
The end
that
of
looks
the year.
Pretty cool. And that's also in October. October's going to be a good month for movies. You got Dune, Morbius, which is Spider-Man, and No Time to Die. I love Daniel Craig as James Bond. I think he's one of the best.
Same.
Skyfall, I think, was one of the best James Bond movies ever made, and I'm talking all of them. I've seen so many of them going back to the early days, and I just think Daniel Craig is a kick-ass
James, I do too.
James Bond.
And the soundtrack was really good because Adele was the singer. The Skyfall.
I think Daniel Craig embodies the dual nature of a of a James Bond. He's like a conflicted. He's a human. He's superhuman in many ways, but he's also very much a human being.
Mm-hmm. A little more flawed than the previous ones.
Mm-hmm. With a past.
Okay.
You know.
Get not Tom, a Bond guy, really.
Yeah. I'll get Tom in here real fast. Tom, good afternoon. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. You got a movie question?
Yeah, Speaker Tim. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us today.
What about Top Gun Maverick?
Yep.
Yeah, when is that?
November.
I'm going through the whole thing here. Oh, yeah, Ryan. Yeah, Top Gun Maverick. Got to wait till November, Tom. Not till November.
I know, but there's some pretty cool trailers on the internet about that. It really looks good.
Yep, cast of thousands. Tom Cruise, Jennifer Connelly, John Hamm, Val Kilmer, Jay Ellis, Miles Teller, Monica Barbaro. Yeah, opening November the 19th. Good call,
19th.
Tom.
Okay.
Good call. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll see you. Let's get to a break here. We've got Mark Cox.
Yes.
Of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Ryan's excited.
Can't get enough of him.
Yes.
I am too. All that and more when we come back on the Annie Fry Show at 97.1 FM Talk.
And your troops, they are elated. Under Biden, there's no tough love. There's no America first. There's no accountability. There are no difficult conversations, no negotiations. America last policies. As Joe keeps saying, America's back. America Last is back. America paying the bills for the world, that's back.
Yeah, America's last, baby. Woo! Yeah, that's what Joe Biden says when he remembers to say something that's not on the teleprompter. Let's talk to our next guest about that.
The conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government. Get off my back.
I'm the best there is at what I do.
You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
And that's the bottom line.
That's for sure. They named an entire show after him. He's that famous. Mark Cox is. The Mark Cox Morning Show host joins us right now. Mark, good afternoon. Welcome to Annie's show. Great to have you on today.
Well, thank you, Tim Jones. Good to be on. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. Mark, Mark is was Joe Biden's European adventure as much as you hoped for and more? I mean, just what an epic disaster, huh? What a bad year for America.
Yeah, you were talking about movies. This one is as bad as Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Remember that movie?
Yes.
That was just horrible. Even in reruns, it's horrible. I've listened to several sound bites from him over there. And, for example, they asked him yesterday if he still stood by calling Putin a killer. And his answer was frightening. I mean, he had huge gaps where he would just stop and pause like he was trying to gather his thoughts, and he couldn't figure out exactly what to say. It's no wonder they keep him away from the media. It's embarrassing, and that has to be why they didn't want a joint press conference with Putin, because what if Putin would have asked him a hard question?
Right. No kidding.
It would have been embarrassing.
Yeah, Mark, there's supposed to usually be big news that comes out of these global summits, right? And Donald Trump was really good at making big news, and usually it was news that it was good for America. We knew that because the media told us it was horrible and horrific and terrible and bad, which we knew was bad for the globalists, good for Americans. But Mark, I think the biggest story coming out of the G7 summit is there's no big story. What did Joe Biden accomplish over there, standing in the back of the room, apparently?
Well, apparently greasing the skids with American taxpayer money again is what happened. Of course, they're thrilled Joe's back. He brought the checkbook with him, right?
Yes.
Remember when Donald Trump went over there, he held them accountable and even threatened before he went over that the U.S. might pull out of NATO. They all freaked out, and they said, why would you do that? Well, you don't pay your bills. You're supposed to pay 2% of your GDP into NATO every year so we can help defend you, and some of you didn't even pay 0.5% last year, and you know, the U.S. has let them get away with that. And lo and behold, a couple of billion dollars suddenly rolled into NATO's bank account. He was effective. I'm missing the mean tweets personally. They now know that America back to the Europeans means the money is flowing to support, you know, abortion services overseas and all these things that the American taxpayer has no business being involved in.
Mm-hmm. Mark Cox from Mark Cox Morning Show, 5 to 9. Is there any reason in your mind for a G7? I mean, if you're trying to pass global initiatives like a global tax, which has been talked about, or at least a global minimum tax among these nations,
yeah,
or you know, climate change, stuff like that. Yeah, there's a reason for G7. But if you're Donald Trump, or if you're an American first, American more isolationist president, what's the purpose of even having a G7 other than just global government stuff?
Well, you're right. I mean, I think that the purpose of that group of people, the most powerful economies in the world, is that if they're of one mind, they can either do a lot of good or a lot of damage, right? Mm-hmm. And very separate goals from the last administration to this one. And right now, they're all of a like mind. I mean, most of them are European socialist Democrats, and Joe Biden wants us to be a European socialist democracy. So he would like to move us more in that direction, which is frightening. But you know, there was a meeting of the minds for that reason, Ryan, and it's really kind of frightening, and it's going to be very expensive for the American taxpayer.
Mm-hmm. Truly indeed. Mark, it seems that Joe Biden's domestic agenda has hit the skids. Thank God Almighty, right? We can all, those of us who like our freedoms and liberties, what's left of them after his 50-some-odd executive orders, are very happy about that. He did get one giant 2-point-whatever-trillion bill through, which has resulted in nothing more than a 30-40% price hike at the pump. We're seeing prices escalating in stores. You know, the Dow, the market seem to kind of they're kind of wandering these days. Jobs reports are some months bad, some months okay, nothing that great. However, Mark, it seems that the agenda, thanks to I hate that we're putting so much stock instead into Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, a couple of Democrats. But Mark, do you think that some of the sane people in the Democratic Party have woken up and realized that they're gonna get it handed to them next year unless they stop the rest of this radical socialist agenda?
I'd like to think so, Tim. I would, but then I look and see who the Democrats allowed Joe Biden to pick as his vice presidential candidate. I mean, they didn't seem to step forward when that happened. We're talking about a woman who couldn't get 2% of the vote within her own progressive party. I don't know. I don't think they've got that kind of foresight. I think that if Pelosi and Schumer had their way and he wasn't insulting disabled children, they'd move this party as hard to the left as they could, and they would do away with the filibuster, mm-hmm. because you know they didn't learn anything from Senator Harry Reid, that was a looming disaster. I think they'd do it and try to get away with as much damage as they could in the next 18 months.
Mark,
it's baffling to me.
Mm-hmm. Tim mm-hmm. just mentioned, you know, he signed a ton of executive orders, and a lot of it was just getting rid of stuff that Trump did by executive order. But outside of that, you know, they've spent a lot of money. But we talk about these things like the filibuster's still there. They haven't packed the courts. They haven't made any new states. You know, a lot of the agenda items that are sort of these big things that get our focus off of real things like the border, they really haven't gotten a lot done other than spending. Am I wrong?
Well, you're not wrong, but that commission for packing the court only just got started about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to hear something from them in a couple of weeks. You know, the big elephant in the room, the 800-pound gorilla, if you will, is health care. You know that what they'd love more than anything other than a Green New Deal is universal health care. And while I'm not sure they can accomplish it, they could certainly do some damage if they could figure out a way to do something like that through reconciliation. I don't know the budget rules enough. Maybe Tim understands them better than I do. I think the parliamentarian is going to limit them on the number of reconciliation acts they can do this year. But, you know, who knows? Coming up, leading into the next session, what they could get away with. That's the scary part to me.
Speaking to Mark Cox, the host of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Mark, thought we'd try to finish maybe on a high note here, a positive note. We had Senator Onder on earlier in the show, and he talked about something that you followed very closely and I believe helped give a lot of courage to people to get across the finish line, because you and I and others were living it here in the St. Louis region, specifically in the county of St. Louis, under the lordship of His Honor Dr. Sam Page. And that was these ridiculous lockdown orders that now that we've seen some of Fauci's emails and we're 18 months, you know, doing a retrospective postmortem on what happened during the pandemic and what should mainly not have happened, and that's locking down everybody who was able-bodied and healthy. The Missouri legislature was very happy to see Governor Parsons sign the bill today to end COVID tyranny and to prohibit vaccine passports. Mark, boy, it sure looks like, in addition to some of this information coming out about the origins of the Wuhan coronavirus, the former CDC director came out today and said that the WHO is too compromised to conduct a COVID origin probe. Mark, it looks like those of us, Mark, on the wacky center-right side of the aisle were right about so many things, and all these conspiracy theories we were perpetrating, Mark, were actual factual truth. And so I just hope the American people as a whole have woken up now and seen all this. Do you think there is a day of understanding, a day of reckoning that's come that's going to help propel us into 2022 and perhaps restore some sanity to the land?
Well, you know, Tim, we Neanderthals need to stand together. I mean, that's at the end of the day, I think that's the lesson. Joe Biden dismissed Ron DeSantis and the people in Texas, specifically Texas, as Neanderthals when Governor Abbott announced he was reopening things down there. Listen, I had your friend Eric Burleson on this morning,
yes,
the senator who helped shepherd this thing through the he helped work on SAPA. And we were also talking about this freedom question of the county executives. You know, we've got – this is long overdue. The saddest thing about this is that it took 10 or 11 months since the news conference they held on at the front doorstep of Satchmo's restaurant in Chesterfield. It's – think about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish the governor had stepped up, canceled the executive order and taken some of these powers away from Sam Page.
Amen.
He chose not to do that. I mean, his approach was he wanted local control and local decisions over these things. The lesson we were taught painfully was that didn't work when you've got progressives like Sam Page in control, and also what they did in Kansas City. That didn't work. And now it's taken us all these months and emergency legislation to finally gain control of Sam Page. And only yesterday did he end his briefings, or maybe Friday they ended their health briefings for the county.
Yeah, now that he's got all the egg on his face. And
yeah,
and boy, and right. you're right, Mark. And leaving it to local control left it to local lunacy. And thank goodness for local people like Ben Brown of Satchmo's. You had a one-man liberty wagon there who put his money in his mouth and his time and his treasure, you know, and help push this forward. And people like him, so many other great local leaders that you interviewed throughout all this, they were the loudspeaker and they were the megaphone that helped restore some freedom and liberty here to the state of Missouri. Mark, before we let you go, you got anybody you want to tease up tomorrow for Hump Day on your show Wednesday when you come out of the gates at 5 a.m.?
I'll have to check on that, Tim. I know we were working on several guests for tomorrow. I'm going to have Keith Antone on, our favorite liberal.
Yeah, lovable liberal.
To talk about some of these crime problems down in the city. And we're also going to get a friend of mine on who's just doing great work for members of the military through training and local police officers as well that he's helping out. And they've got a They do all this for free, and they're trying to raise a little bit of money for it. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow on the show as well, how Patriots can chip in and help him out, and what it really has been a one-man crusade. So I'm happy we can help out with that.
Yeah, well, you're always such a big supporter of our brave men and women in blue and green in the military and the services. Appreciate you very much for that, Mark. And give my favorite lovable liberal a big virtual hug from me. He will appreciate that very much. So
I will do that. I'm hoping we're going to get Keith in the studio tomorrow. I don't know if he's coming in person or not, but if he is, I'll see to it.
Well, I can't wait for you to have him explain the logic of how defunding the police is supposed to reduce crime rates. I can't wait for that. So that'll be a fascinating discussion. So truly,
it should be groundbreaking. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow him tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. Fresh and out of the gates here at 97.1 FM Talk. Mark Cox, host of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Mark, thanks for all the time this afternoon. Appreciate you.
You bet, Tim. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again soon. Yeah. Get to a break, and then we're gonna talk a little Pink Floyd. When we come back, Ryan Wiggins has got his Pink Floyd shirt on. Did you hear what Roger Waters to hear the message that Roger Waters had for Mark Zuckerberg. It was fantastic. And just another example of an old school liberal giving it to today's big tech leftists. All that and more when we come back here on the Andy Frey Show at 97.1 FM Talk.
This is something that I actually put in my folder when I came out here today. You have no idea what it is. Nobody does, because it arrived on the internet to me this morning. It's a request for the rights to use my song, Another Brick in the Wall 2, in the making of a film to promote Instagram. So it's a missive. It's a missive from Mark Zuckerberg to me, right? Arrived this morning with an offer of a huge, huge amount of money. And the answer is, f*** you. No f- way. And I only mentioned that because this is an insidious, it's the insidious movement of them to take over absolutely everything, you know. So those of us who do have any power, and I do have a little bit, in terms of the control of the publishing of my songs, I do anyway. So I will not be a party to this bull Zuckerberg.
All right.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that anymore. That was Roger Waters of Pink Floyd. This is where the right and the left can come together on certain populist issues. And look, I don't want to sit here and bash big tech, because they've provided us a lot of great tools, like the one I'm holding in my hand right now, my little iPhone here. However, they should not be able to have their cake and eat it too, and they shouldn't act like petty tyrants. So I know you enjoyed this big Pink Floyd fan.
I am a huge Pink Floyd fan.
I am too.
I wore my shirt today.
Yes, you did.
And we were educating Katie. She's heard that song 1,000 times, did not realize it was Pink Floyd.
Correct.
So now you know.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm so glad, because if somebody walks up to your doorstep with a dump truck full of money, how easy is it to go,
Okay. I'll sell out.
And he did not. And you're right, Tim. I thought of you when I even heard that clip, because you're talking about, this guy is not a conservative.
No.
I mean, if you've listened to Pink Floyd music, like, there is nothing conservative in Pink Floyd music.
Probably hates Trump.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Or maybe he doesn't. On some issues, he may not.
He's Roger Waters has appeared on Tucker recently.
There you go.
Maybe the tides are changing.
And just like, I would put Roger Waters, I didn't know this about Roger Waters, but I put him in, after hearing that, I'd put him in the camp of like Glenn Greenwald, okay, Bill Maher.
Now, yeah.
Apparently now John Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, folks like that, sort of old-fashioned liberals who believe in, yes, they believe in things I don't believe in, like government handouts and a bigger welfare state and all that. However, you know what they also believe in? They believe in civil liberties. And they believe in freedom. And a guy like Roger Waters respects America because America's got something that the UK does not, and that's a constitution with the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, where Roger Waters can get up on a stage and drop the F-bomb as much as he wants, and no one's going to haul him off to prison.
Right. And obviously nobody's suggesting that that's going to happen now, but back in the 60s and 70s, there was a lot more pressure on an artist to not do things like that. That's completely gone, but he's really anchored his ship to Julian Assange and the movement to get him out of the embassy, obviously, which is right there in England, so it's a little more close to home for him. But that's when you see him appear on Tucker, that's actually what he was referring to there, because he goes on in that clip to talk about, you're trying to use a song that's all about, we don't need no education, we don't need no thought control,
mm-hmm.
so that I can promote you to get bigger and bigger so that you can just censor anybody you want. And he talks about that they've censored him and other people talking about Julian Assange because they don't think that message should be out there.
I'll play part two, then I'll explain where the confluence, the coming together, that's a big fancy word, like for when rivers come together.
Yeah, right confluence. Here, north of
right here.
St. Louis.
We have a confluence.
That's right.
Yeah. There you go. little geography for your...
I mean,
yeah. Why not?
Well-rounded.
We get it all in.
That's right.
The confluence of small government conservatives and civil libertarian-loving liberals, right? Traditional liberals like Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley yeah. and the people we just mentioned, blah, blah, blah. So here you go. It's part two of Roger Waters trashing Mark Zuckerberg. I love it.
We want to thank you for considering this project. We feel that the core sentiment of this song is still so prevalent and necessary today, which speaks to how timeless a work is true. And yet, they want to subjourn it. They want to use it to make Facebook and Instagram even bigger and more powerful than it already is, so that it can continue to censor all of us in this room and prevent this story about Julian Assange getting out to the general public so the general public could go, what? What? No, no more. Neither mass. Zuckerberg features in my new rock and roll show. I've got him sitting. No, I shouldn't tell you. But he does. But you think, how did this little who started off by saying, she's pretty, we'll give her a 4 out of 5. She's ugly, we'll give her a 1. Did he get any power in anything? No, and yet here he is, one of the most powerful idiots in the world.
Well, he's got a point there. How did stupid Facebook get so darn prolific, ubiquitous, and make a guy a gazillionaire?
Again, it just goes back to like this being a societal thing. I think he thought that he was filling a need and took a gamble and was like, this is, I mean,
his
filling
worked.
A need is all relative. But he was saying, let me build a platform. And it did start with that. I can't remember what it's called. I don't know if it's Hot or Not.
Is it Hot or Not? Something
hot
like
not.
That,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, something like that. And I believe that he felt like society was missing something.
Yeah.
So let me fill in this hole.
College
that
students
no,
were yeah, missing something.
Yes, and nobody else has traveled this way before. This is new territory. Nobody else thought that this could be done. Let me see if I can do it. And then we as a society said, yeah, I can't blame Mark Zuckerberg when all of us signed up for Facebook.
And isn't it fascinating that MySpace failed?
Yes.
And Facebook succeeded.
And I loved MySpace.
Did you really? I never used it.
Oh my gosh.
I did too.
I loved it. I was why? Like, it was so much better than Facebook.
Okay, so then why did it fail? What do you guys think?
You go first.
For me, I think that the age group shifted. Like I was on, I don't know about you, Ryan, but I was on MySpace whenever I was 13.
Okay.
And it had all of the cool stuff. It had the music and the layouts, and you were coding and you were building. And,
really? Like,
oh my gosh, you were doing incredible things.
Neat.
And learning all at the same time. You didn't even know you were learning.
I'm going to get a MySpace account.
And then
you could probably still do it.
And then everybody I knew kind of shifted towards Facebook. And to me, Facebook was lame and boring, and there was no pizzazz to it. But I'm like, everybody's moving from MySpace to Facebook. So. I'll move to.
Facebook was more similar to MySpace at that time, where everybody had their own page. And it was like, this is my page. These are my pictures. This is what I think about things. But MySpace failed because you had to visit each individual person's page to see any sort of news updates or new pictures
yeah,
or anything.
Right, you're right.
Facebook
got your
transitioned
page.
Out of that
yep.
to where they had a news feed. And so you posted on your page, but it would go into the news feed. And so you only had to go to the main page to see what everybody you know was thinking or doing right now. And that's what kind of changed everything, because it used to not be that way.
But I think it's important, though, like that we recognize, you know, Mark Zuckerberg has a lot of power and we gave it to him. And this is a great learning lesson to say how hard it is to get that power back and take it away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge
because there's a
lesson.
Whole bunch of us. Probably in this room and a whole lot of people listening who have either already jumped ship and are like, I'm not going to use Facebook or Twitter anymore, or they're like one little incident away from jumping.
Yeah.
So you can still get a MySpace account. It still exists.
You going to do it?
I should. First time I've ever seen it. They have one of my favorite bands on here featured on their front page, Angels and Airwaves.
Oh, yeah.
Release
awesome.
Restless Souls. I haven't heard that yet.
I haven't either. But
Angels
I
and Airwaves,
it.
Which is the
that.
Singer from Matchbox 20.
Angels and Airwaves? No, I thought he was Blink-182.
Well, I'm sorry, Blink-182.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Screwed up my 80s.
Tom DeLonge.
Screwed up my 90s bands there.
He's the guy that loves aliens.
Does
oh,
he really?
He's the UFO
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. Oh,
so is
yeah,
he like
yeah.
a younger version of, who's the guy Annie plays all the time? The crazy guy from...
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
Wait, yes.
No, he's not Randy Quaid. He's
just not Randy
really
Quaid crazy?
Into UFOs.
Okay.
The problem is... The stuff that he was talking about has now become sort of mainstream news.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe Randy Quaid has done that too.
Well, in I'll wrap us up with the fact that all of our conspiracy theories are coming true.
Yeah.
With a story that just came out this morning on that far right wing website known as the New York Post, which the left loves to hate. Mm-hmm. I love the New York Post. When I lived in New York, which was for almost a decade. I have to say almost, because when I say I lived in New York for 10 years, my wife corrects me, because she's a big numbers person. She's like, you lived there for 9 years.
So don't say that. Okay. Don't round up.
Like, that's almost 10.
Yeah.
Don't you dare round up,
yeah.
Tim.
So New York Post was like, I loved it back then. I love it even more now. Miranda Devine, one of my famous my favorite reporters there. Anyway, New York Post coming out today. More evidence suggests COVID was in the U.S., by December
Thank you.
Of 2019.
Thank you. Everybody's been talking about that for the last 12 to 18 months, and now we're finally getting some data on it.
We would have been... That was crazy talk, right?
It was.
It was crazy. You couldn't say it got here before whatever the news media said the date was.
Or
it was
people kind of rolled their eyes at you.
Oh, no, that can't,
come on.
You
come
didn't
on.
Have COVID no back way. In December. When people would say, you know, I had this weird thing in December. I went on a trip, and I was out in California, and I was at this big conference... I've heard this story a few times from different people. And I got back, and I had this weird thing, and I, like, lost my sense of taste and smell.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, here we go. More evidence suggests that COVID was in the U.S. Freaking Fauci. I blame him all this. Elf on a shelf. We'll be back with lots more. 2 o'clock hour featuring J.J., Jimmy Carafano from the Heritage Foundation. Going to talk to him about the G7 here at 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.